Jesus' name. So today's title, sermon title, is called Looking Forward. And, you know, yesterday being Christmas, we could take some time and look at the prophecies back in the Old Testament and what prophesied toward Jesus coming. You know, we could look back and see where it prophesied that he would come from the line of Abraham or Judah or David. And, you know, if we look in Matthew chapter 1, it goes through Joseph's lineage, starting with Abraham. And it goes right, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, then on down to David and King Solomon. And, you know, through Joseph came this line. This Jesus, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. And same thing with Mary's side. Only if we go to Luke in chapter 3, it's the same thing, only through Mary. And it goes through, now, from there, when it gets back to David, it comes through Nathan's side. But it still goes back to Abraham. And clear back into, with Mary's, it takes it clear back to Adam. But that was prophesied. We saw that coming. You know, it was there. If looking forward, they would have saw that and known that this is what would have been coming. We could read about the virgin birth in Isaiah 7:14. It talks about how he would be born of a virgin, and we see that came true in Matthew 1:18, that before Joseph and Mary were together, that she was with child. So we saw that back in Isaiah. Looking for it. Hey, we have that scene where we see that at then. We could see it now. He would have been born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. And we read back in Luke 2:3-4, we see the city that they were tasked. Doesn't matter how they got there. The reason was that they were being taxed and they had to go to their home city, which for Joseph was Bethlehem. So that's where he had to go. Well, that's just a worldly situation that God used, but it was foretold that that's what was going to happen. So we see these things, and that would help point to the forward to that. So the point of those review is that to encourage us that, hey, we've got these examples in time that we can actually look back and see those things have happened. Okay, we knew Jesus, which line he would come from. We know where he was going to be born. And there's a lot of other things we can read about through this Old Testament that would prophesy of Jesus. Those are just a few that would hit to kind of make the point this morning, is that we had those things to look at. We got to see them happen. Now, the point of that is that's to encourage us that we've seen those things prophesied. We've seen them come to pass. We have other prophecies that we have now that we can be looking forward to that haven't happened yet. So we need to keep looking forward. And to start our lesson off this morning, I want you guys to turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 36, 37, 38. Luke chapter 2. And you'll have to bear with me. Over the last couple years, my eyes have started to adjust. And I've got these progressive lenses, and sometimes it takes me a second to find the focus spot. You know, when you're studying at home, I can just take my glasses off, and I can put this up here at my face and read, and I don't have any troubles. But when you got things here, sometimes it takes me a second, so bear with me. So here we have the adoration of Anna. And we read through this. Let's just do that. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So let's look at Anna here for a second. What was she doing? She was serving God with fastings and prayers, both day and night, continually. You know, she had lost her husband. She did not have her husband very long. And for 84 years, she had been in the temple, continually praying and fasting and serving God. Notice what she does here. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise. She understood the situation. She knew what she was looking at. You know, She knew that that was the Lord. She knew the purpose of him. She knew why he was coming. He knew what he was there to do. She gave thanks. You know, a lot of times we get so bogged down in that we kind of lose perspective of what this is going to do. What's the job? She gave thanks. She saw the whole picture. She just wasn't looking at this moment. She was blessed and thanked that she was part of that moment. She was thankful. But she had this life of prayer and fasting and had this relationship. So when that came forward, it's just a realization of what she knew was coming. Notice what prayer does to that. It helps with our perspective. It's what helps us understand what's going on. And what it does is it keeps our eyes from looking like this. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities. It's like I always tell my kids in class, it's this perspective. Okay? We're looking up to the Lord. And as we look and we grow, we look back down, not down upon people, but down with the perspective of God's understanding and the way the world is being utilized and formed to bring glory and honor to him. We don't see a lot of things going on, but a lot of the evil and things we see are because things are not, glory is not being given to God. There's not a relationship with the Lord. There's not a following of him. And so you see these things unfolding. But what helps us with that is we know what the situation is. You know, our perception, you know, if we just look at it like this, boy, we're bogged down. And I tell you what, if you're not bogged down, if you get your eyes off the Lord very quick, we're going to be Peter sinking in the water. I mean, quickly. I mean, that's just the world we live in. But if we have a heavenly perspective on things, we see things and we're going to be up high enough and see enough that, hey, down here, I see something we ought to be looking forward to. There's the Lord's coming. We have this to look for. We should be looking towards that. That's our eyes on the Lord. That's what kept Peter up afloat. With his eyes were focused and walking, man, it was just no fine. That was a storm he jumped in the sea in on. And he didn't hesitate. You know, that's what prayer does in our life. And notice it was fasting and prayers night and day. It was continually. Okay? We still have jobs to do. We still have things to go. That doesn't mean there's not a song in your heart. That doesn't mean you're not thinking, oh, God laid this on my heart. I can pray for this or that. Those things, it's just continual throughout the day. It happens. And that's good. That's what we should do. We still fulfill our responsibilities, but this is constantly in our mind. So that's thing number one, is to pray. Keep that. Remember that, right? The second thing that we need to do to keep our eyes forward and looking forward is to study. Okay? So let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. And I'm not going to read to you any new scripture today, nothing that you haven't read before. I'm not going to tell you anything you haven't already been taught. We're not. But what I want to do today is show you things that will help us to keep things going, keep things in the right flow to help us get through these days and times that we're living in. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. If I did not say that earlier. 2 Timothy 2:15. And Paul here is telling Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. You can't learn anything if you don't study about it. If you don't read this, I mean, I'm happy to stand up here and give this. And it's like, tell my kid, man, I love teaching them. I love getting them involved. And I can be a lot more animated back there with them because they're kids. And I can have this back and forth with them. But, you know, you pick up, you leave, you go home. You know, we're going to pick up and leave and go home today. I can't study for you. You have to study for you. I have a responsibility up here today to stand and bring things. But it's your responsibility to take that in. It's your responsibility to open up that heart and let God take that and work that in your life. That's on you. Just like it was on me. I mean, this is coming right back at me too. When I'm preaching, I'm hearing some of this stuff. You know, I'm kind of mentally filing some things away here too. You know, hey, Brad, you know, let's remember some of these things yourself because this applies to you too. But study. Show yourself. That way you can rightly divide it. You can figure this out, okay? Because the more you pray And the more your heart is to keep your mind on the Lord continually, the more you study. The more you study, the more He reveals to you. The more He shows you. You're not going to learn it. He can't reveal it if you don't go and study it so it's in there. It has to be there. If I don't go plant corn, corn ain't growing. You know, it's just not growing. And sometimes when you plant it, it still doesn't come up. But you have to put it out there for it to grow. You know, and there's a lot of things you have to do to take care of that. But you have to study. You have to, I had to learn. You have to grow. I always say when it comes to growing something, and this is my experience, it takes about 5 years to figure it out. You know, there's about 5 years worth of learning things that you have to do to fully understand. And then from there, it's just dealing with the once-in-a-lifetime situation that you'll never see again. You know, but it takes a while to get the fertility figured out. It takes a while to figure, okay, what can I do? How thick do I need to plant it? You know, what? Well, it's too dry. Maybe I should cut it back. Oh, it's too wet. I should have planted more. Oh, this clearly needs more fertilizer. Well, what? Need to spray for this or that. It takes just some time to figure out how to help things, to make things do what they're supposed to do. But if I don't study that stuff, I don't figure out how to do it. If I don't study God's Word, there can't be any growth. There can't be any return. There can't be anything for us. There has to be some studying here. So it's our food for our growth. Now, I'm done growing physically. But, you know, if I look at Jeremiah or Benjamin or Adam were here, you know, even my kids, they're not done growing. I mean, Ethan's probably, they're probably right about that age, but physically, they're still growing and maturing. They need calories. They need calories. I mean, they're going to pack it away. Their mom and dads, I don't know if they remembered how they used to eat, but boy, they're about, you get reminded when they're that age. You know, when I was a junior in high school, I remember my mom literally doubled our supper sizes for me. Just because, you know, I had such a high metabolism, you know, I just could eat. But that's what we need to do with this. Boy, our spiritual appetites, we need to eat this in. Study it. Show thyself approved so we can rightly divide this stuff up. We're in 2 Timothy, so let's just skip on over to chapter 3, and let's read 15, 16, and 17. Again, nothing new you haven't heard here. But from a child, again, Timothy being, this is a letter from Paul to Timothy, and he's encouraging him, says that from a child you have known the Holy Scripture. Well, praise God for Timothy and knowing those things and laying a hold of those things, which are able to make thee wise. You know, you need to understand something. Well, the first thing you need to understand is you need God's Word and you need to grow there. That other stuff, you spend time here, God gives wisdom in other things. You know, if I understand what I'm learning is that I'm amazed at sometimes how I figure stuff out. Sometimes I'm amazed at how slow it takes me. Other times I'm amazed, how'd you figure that out, Brad? Well, I don't really know, but as I think about it, as I give time to Him, God gives me wisdom to figure other things out in life. Things come to me. Things, you know, it's, why'd you do that? I don't know. I did that. Well, if I'd stop and actually think about it, get my perspective right, and look down on it, okay, you give God His time, you give God His thing. Other things happen in your life too, you know. But more, really here, the study, the wise, back to the spiritual part of it, they're there. When you study, you get wisdom. Unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, salvation here, it's not just being saved. It is being saved. We have to be saved. Otherwise, we don't have anything. None of this makes any sense unless we're saved. Once we're saved, then we can step in. Now we're part of it. But salvation is so much more, and it's this whole list of things and 10 weeks worth of studies that we don't have time for this morning. But it's the redemption, it's the propitiation, it's learning, it's growing. It's a relationship that now I get to be a part of and go on with the Lord. You know, there's a lot that goes into this. It's not just salvation of being saved. It's growth. Look what it does. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Righteousness. In righteousness. That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This perfect is maturity, growth. You know, I'm physically done growing, but I'm inside, I'm still growing. I'm not done. You know, my grandma, she was 96, I think, when she passed. It may have been a little bit more. But She got fairly feeble and could not do things, although I look back and think, you know, I was pretty amazed at how well she got around and did things. I was pretty impressed. But she wasn't done. Even though her physical body was going down, she wasn't done growing until the Lord took her home. You know, when the Lord took her, she was done growing. You know, these bodies, they stop. Once we hit about our early 30s, that's when we're about at our physical peak and our mental peak. And when there's kind of a plateau up there that maybe some people can stay physically on a little bit more and mentally on a little bit more. But there's a peak and there's a downslide. You're going down from this body. But that doesn't mean we're going down that spiritually. That line just keeps going up. And then when we get to done, we go home. You know, that's where we're at. So that we might be thoroughly furnished. That's what the studying of God's word is, that thoroughly furnishes us. So we can have this growth and maturity. As we have that growth and we have those things, the more time we spend in his word, the more time we spend in prayer, the more time we spend looking forward to see him, to be in his kingdom, to look for his coming. It's those things that keep our focus going where we need to be going. Next thing, number three. Is avoid distractions. So let's go back to Luke again, and let's go to chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, we're going to read verses 34 and 35. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 and 35. So here we have Jesus' warning, and he says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware." Okay? Take heed to yourself. Here's a warning. Take heed. Pay attention. There's, you know, I got a whole farm full of stuff that has warning labels on it. And the warning labels are thicker than the instruction labels. You get three little lines for instruction somewhere in the middle of the booklet, and you get 15 pages of warnings. You know? You know what? Here's our warning. You know, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. What is overcharged? It's burdened, weighted down. You're overcharged. Okay, so I'm burdened and weighted down. Watch out. Don't be burdened and laden down with surfeiting. Okay, what is surfeiting? That's doing things in excess. So don't be burdened and weighted down with doing things in excess. What are those things? And drunkenness and cares of this life. Boy, if we don't get caught up in the things of this life, if we don't get burdened and overweighted and bogged down with the things of this world, and I'm right there with you. If any of you have ever been to a sporting event with one of my kids and me, you guys will know that Brad's perspective isn't always right. You know, and my kids will, I got two eyeballs full attention on me, right? So, knowing how I am, you know, and that's not right. You know, I mean, we get so bogged down. You're like, get there. Come on. Get. You know, and over time, you start slinking over the years. And of course, the first one gets it the worst. But boy, we get so caught up in sports. I mean, even today, it's way more than it is. It should be. I mean, I don't begrudge people having a job that they can go out and make that kind of money and put that kind of wear and tear on their body if that's what they so choose to do. There's no problem with that to me. But making that everything, boy, we make it so important. You see it like with kids today and how it's to be everything. And what do you get out of it? I mean, so many times, they get nothing. They either hate it or they're not. I mean, sorry, your kid's not that good, okay? And it's okay. That's not a factor of our greatness. That's not a measure of who we are. That's overburdened and overweighted with a misperspective of worldliness is what that is. And throw me in that bucket. I get like that. So we're overcharged, burdened, weighted down with things of doing point to an excess. And that can be stuff that's like blessings and things of God that he allows. It could be hunting. And I always try to use stuff that I like with my kids. You know, it's hunting or fishing for me. mostly hunting. I get to fish some. I like fishing. I love hunting, you know. But it can be anything. What I don't know what it is for you, but you know what it is for you. So I'll let you fill in the blank there. I know my things. They're not bad to do, but we don't overdo them. We don't weigh it down. How about we see in here the cares of this life. I mean, just normal day-to-day stuff. We get bogged down with day-to-day stuff. Goodness sakes. Why? If you died right now, how important is that day-to-day stuff that needs to be done? It ain't that important anymore, is it? You know, it's not. And I'm not saying we should just, oh, well, if I died, it wouldn't matter, so I don't have to take. No, you just have to be responsible. But not to the point that we're overcharged and burdened, weighted down with it. That's the warning here. So what does that stuff do? It keeps us unaware. It keeps us distracted. It misplaces our focus because now all of a sudden we are bogged down and looking at all this stuff in this world and up. It's not about this. It's about this. Keep our focus. What helps us do that is praying and studying. That will help us. The more we do one and two, the less we will do three. Not that that's not going to come up. Because Satan's going to bring whatever that is in your life, to your heart, oh, it's coming. Okay? Brad's not standing up here telling you, I'm sorry about the third perfect thing. It's coming. I promise you, it's coming. Yeah. You know? That's what he does. He knows what it is for you and me. And so that's how he hits us. That's how he attacks us. And we get bogged down. And when we get bogged down, boy, the more stuff we can place on our shoulders when we're in the mud, the happier we seem to be. I don't know why we're like that, but it's like, oh, I've got all this to do. We've got all this stuff. Can you put a couple more things on me to carry in this? I mean, I need some more. I can. No, what? Why? What? Get through things, but we want to keep our focus where it's supposed to be. Okay? Number four. How do we keep looking forward? Well, how about we actually have to watch? Okay? We got to have prayer. We have to have study. That helps our mental aspect. Now we physically have to do it. We actually physically have to commit and do this. So, let's turn. We're in Luke here. Let's just go back here on the other page here and go to Luke chapter 21, and we'll read 25 through 28. Now, with here we have... We're talking about the return of the Lord in glory here. And not, but I want to read through this. Right now we're living in this grace age. And we're almost at the end of this grace age. And at the end of all the dispensations, if you're studying them, God has them. God set something up. Man fails. Judgment. And it's just repeat, 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 repeat. This grace age is no different. We have the rejection of Jesus. What's coming from that? The tribulation. Because God will not let his son be rejected, in whom he was well pleased. So in 21 here, so let's move that, span that out, tribulation period here. We have the return of the Lord in glory. So we're at the end of this time frame. But we still need to read this for our focus. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear. But are we not pretty close to that now? My goodness, I look around and I mean, I think people are just on the verge of mental breakdowns on some of this. I'm like, what are you going to do when a real problem shows up? You know? Oh, compassion, Brad, they don't have what you have. They don't have your understanding. They don't have your wisdom. Don't be judgmental. They haven't learned and grown. They're at a different thing. Not that they can't learn or grow, but that's what that does. Let that be a reminder. You know, skip back up to number three. That's what cares of the world do. That's what the result is. So you might keep that in mind when you're doing those things. Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Okay, that's the end. They're going to see him in power and great glory. They're going to see God. But read the next verse. This is the one we need to see here. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When you see these things begin, it's time to look up. Do we see those things beginning? The answer better be yes. If not, you need to go back to Timothy and see about studying and then get back in here and get to work again. They're here. We are seeing them begin right before our eyes. Now, God, His days are as 1,000 years. So His time schedule is a little bit different than mine. But I know what the times and the seasons are. I can look outside and see, you know what? It's a pretty nice day out for December 26th. It's actually really nice. And praise God, I'll take a whole winter of that. But if there is 4 inches of snow on the ground next weekend, anybody in here going to be surprised? We're all going to smile and chuckle, Kansas. But we're not going to be surprised. Those are the seasons that we live in. We know our seasons. You know, we get 10 days of spring. We get 10 days of fall. And then, you know, summer and winter in between. Yeah, it's kind of how it feels like sometimes. Not always like that, but it does feel like that. But we know the seasons. I know when I start seeing buds on the trees and the grass not quite as brown, I know the spring is on its way. The grass might take another month before it's green, and I might not see a leaf for another 6 weeks, but I know it's there. When I see those things begin, I'm excited. When we see these things begin, look up. Lift up your head. What is this? God never told us to do that. Humble yourself does not mean that we are just beaten down to nothing. But sometimes God has to put us there for us to understand that we're to be confident and strong, but in Christ Jesus. You know, daughter and I, we always kind of kid around like that. She lifts weights. She likes doing that, so... She's like, I got muscles. And she does have muscles. I mean, she's getting stronger. And, you know, that confidence in ourselves to do those things is not where our confidence. But we can walk through shoulders back and head up because I know who's coming into battle with me. Joshua and Caleb, who knew who was going in battle with them, they didn't bat an eye. They were right. Let's go. We are much able to take that. There's giants in it. We are able. Let's go. And the rest of the children said, no, we can't do it. That's not God. We are to be confident and strong in who we have and who we are. Lift up your heads. Our redemption draws nigh. Be encouraged. Because we're seeing these things begin to come to pass. We actually have our eyes open. We're actually looking around and we can see these things are happening. Are they disturbing? A little bit. Are we happy about it? I don't think anybody in there is happy about it. But we ought to be encouraged. Because we know what comes pretty darn close after that. So we ought to be encouraged. Let's read one more scripture here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. And we're going to read quite a little bit here, but we're just going to kind of read it through as one thought. We're going to read down to verse 44. But as the day of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah had entered the ark. It was just a day, same old day. You know, nothing had changed. It was just until the day. I mean, come on. There's animals walking into this boat. Is anybody not got a light bulb? Wait, what's going on here? Because we know Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They knew those that were around him. He wasn't quiet. He was a preacher, and they knew what was coming. Wait a minute. Why are those watch. I mean, there's animals coming into the boat. But okay. For as in the day of Noah, same thing. Their days were just normal, everyday, what they considered life. Then shall, and knew not, and the flood came until it took them all away. God's sakes. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be? I mean, boy, talk about being distracted. Yeah, there's some distractions for you. But we're subject to the same thing. You know, we're not different. Jesus didn't tell us to avoid them if we weren't going to do them. I mean, that's why it's there. Because we do that. He knew how we were. He knew we weren't going to keep one rule. He knew we'd mess that up. Praise God he didn't leave us there. But avoid those distractions. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Boy, that's not going to be any different than animals getting on a boat and it starts raining when it never rained before. Where'd Bob go? Wasn't Bob right here? Well, there's his clothes. What, I mean, where's Bob? Yeah. I mean, like that, gone. Yep. Is that something to look forward to? Boy, I think it is. That sounds pretty impressive to me. Sign me up. But know that if the good man of the house had known what watch a thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, in verse 44, be ye also ready. You can also put ready in my Bible. I've got right above it written prepared. Be ready. You're prepared for what comes over you. You know, my kids, when they played sports, I try to teach them, help them be prepared. You know, like especially with, you know, baseball is a little bit different. You work on scenarios when my son pitched. My daughter, when she's playing basketball, I taught her how to be prepared for different things you're going to face. Sometimes people are going to be wide open, fire away. Sometimes somebody's going to be right in your face. So step back, then shoot. There's other things. Fake, back, then go, and then drive. Well, they're too tall. Great. Stop 2 foot and short of them. Shoot a little floater over the top of them. Be prepared. You don't know what you're going to think. We're going to work on all these things to get you ready. Well, if we're willing to do that in our everyday life, what should we be ready to do for someone who's going to just take us out of here and be gone? Be you prepared. For in such an hour as you think the Son of Man... For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Boy, don't think that he's not coming at any point. Because you don't want to be that one. Oh, how'd I miss that? Because it's not going to be pretty. You think things are bad now. I mean, it's not going to be pretty at all in the tribulation. And if you think the tribulation, you start reading some of the woes in the book of the Revelation. That ought to, I mean, I've wrote some of them down before, and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, we're not even to the middle of the tribulation yet. Look at all the things that have happened. This isn't good. I mean, it's not something to look forward to. Be ready. Now, the things that we have here is you have a lifestyle. You have a process by which you can keep looking forward. And it's every day. Every day. Well, yeah, but yesterday I wasn't really focused yesterday. Who cares? Stop it. Because if we read in Philippians chapter 3, what does Paul say? Those things that are behind, leave them there. You didn't do something yesterday. You didn't. Stop. This is today, all right? You can't undo yesterday. But Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. Satan's going to keep you back there. Well, that's easy. Then we know we don't want to go there. Satan wants me here, I want to go there. I'm going to keep looking forward. We don't look back on those things. We don't dwell on those things. We all have those things that are back there. All of us. Each and every one. And we're not going to take a roll call, and we're not going to have everybody confess what those are, but you know what they are in your heart. I know what they are in mine. Leave them there. It's okay. And think about the things Paul did. What kind of victory does he have here? Ah, I can't. I'm leaving those things back there. I'm going forward. I am pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. In Christ Jesus. This is where I'm going. That's what Paul did. What I hope you take from this is that this is our everyday. You want that relationship? You want those things? Well, there they are. I kind of like checklists. When I have stuff out in the farm, I need stuff to work on, I get pretty disorganized. I get very unfocused very quick. This needs that. Well, I have to do this. Well, I need to go do this. Okay. Before I do that, I got a whiteboard, tractor, these things, planter, these things, combine. And so when we pull that piece of equipment in the shed, I know I need this, this, and this. When that's done, we're done, wipe it off. You know, these things. And they're not just a thing for this, that we're not just saying we check, oh, pray today, check, stay up, check. You know, no. It's a heart. It's a lifestyle. It's a day-to-day walk that we have.